Então, pode ser ótimo.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Big Book Awakening Workshop with myself, Tyla, and Josie. I'm glad you're all here, and welcome. This is next to the last meeting. Wah! I want to cry. Ooh. You know, I'm really sad. You're happy that it's almost complete, but you're really sad because it's like this great family connection that you have and that you don't want, for me, I don't want it to end. I just want it to continue. So there's a lot of mixed feelings about it, but I'm glad that you're all here. And tonight we are on step 11. And next week it will be step 12, but not step 12 per se. It is working with others. And we will do the whole working with others in that night. And this tonight, before we do the meditation, would someone want to read the third step prayer? Would someone volunteer to read the third step prayer? Anybody have a big book? You guys are all sitting quietly. One of you better volunteer.
I can, Tyler, but I did it last week.
That's fine. Annette said she'll do it. Annette, hang on a minute before you do it, Annette. I want to say that, you know, tonight and last week especially, these two steps are really the steps where the group experience is so important, that what you guys have experienced and what you have done in step 11, what you have tried in step 10 is so important. So I'm going to do step 11 tonight, and then we will open it up for your experience, strength and hope on step 11, because that adds a lot to the group, you know, because I love to hear from you and I know you like to hear from each other. So Ned, honey, would you read the third step prayer? And then we'll do a 3-minute meditation, 4-minute meditation.
God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou relieve me of the
bondage of self. Then
take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I need the other box.
Would everybody mute? Thank you. Thank you.
That's time, Tyler.
Thank you for timing it. I wanted to go a little longer tonight because we are in meditation step. Oh, hi, Natasha. Hi, Felicia. Good to see you guys. What a nice surprise. Hi, Ryan.
Light version. That one sucks.
Yeah. Would everybody please mute RJ? Thank you. Okay, I want to get where I want to get here. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the 11th step, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out. Okay, remember on page 46 on the bottom, sought and seek are basically the same word. On the bottom of 46, it talked about that our job is to seek. And the only way that we're going to be eliminated from that, let me read it so that I don't misquote it. It says, we found that God does not make too hard terms for those who seek Him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, and all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. The only way that I get excluded is by not seeking. So now it tells us that way back there in step two, and now what was a direction, an idea, becomes to me a way of life, okay? Because it says on page 66, I'm going to go over to 66 because it calls these maintenance steps. Okay. And it says on 66, but with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, is that still my hope or did something change? It's no longer my hope because if I'm not doing 10 and 11 and working with others, it's no longer my hope. Because I'm not going to maintain anything, but I'm going to do maintenance on my spiritual life so that I grow it, just like I do maintenance on my roses so that they grow. So I need to see how many times the book, for me, I like to reference how many times the book is pointing me towards this direction way before I get there. So on the bottom, I'm going to start on the bottom of page 85, okay? Remember I said last week that step 10 is between me and the world. Step 11 is more between me and God. Everything that happens in step 11 happens before I walk out the door, except for the very last part, okay? So I go through my day doing step 10, then I'm going to review it in step 11 at night. So I'm going to start on the bottom of page 85, step 11. Well, I'm going to start a little bit before that because usually the last paragraph before what we're going to go into also references that. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. conscience. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. Remember, last week I talked about that all the decisions I've made in my life were based on my five senses, what I see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. If I can, I can look in my inventory and see that's how I made decisions about my life, who I dated, what job I took, all of that. None of it was ever made in the sixth sense, which is God consciousness, that vital sixth sense, which I begin to operate from. But it says, if I want to operate from that, I must go further. And that means more action. Here we are. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. And I believe the word shy, people have different ideas of definitions of it. I believe shy means that I'm afraid to do it. I don't understand it, but if I don't believe that I can have a personal direct contact with God, if I don't believe that God will speak to me directly, I'm going to have a hard time with this prayer and meditation. This is what the book's saying, a personal relationship with God, a God that will speak to me. Okay. We shouldn't be shy on this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. And I say to myself, what better men do you know of that are using it constantly? I put Mark, Joe, Gandhi, Martin Luther King. I write some people that I think are using it constantly that inspire me. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. And you know the proper attitude is down there on page 55. Having an open mind, searching diligently within ourselves, setting aside what I think I know. With that attitude, I cannot fail. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Okay, now, why did they start with the nightly review? I'm going to read the nightly review. They start with the nightly review because I'm going to review the way I did step 10 during the day. My nightly review is going to pick up things that I missed during the day. So that shows me how important it is, how important the guys that wrote this book thought it was, that I continue to keep that channel that now is clear to God, clear. That if I miss something during the day in 10, I pick it up in 11 at night, and then with the directions of step 11, I should go out the next day and correct it, asking God what corrective measures should be taken. I should go out there and do it, okay? Because I will miss things, you know, but they show me how important it is by opening up step 11 with that review at night, how well I carried step 10 throughout my day. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day, not destructively, constructively. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? So doesn't say here to write out step 11. You can if you want. I don't do it. I do it in meditation, but you can do it if you want. But it says, if I'm saying to myself, was I resentful? I'm going to say, how was I resentful? Where was I resentful? I'm going to ask myself those questions. If I haven't finished my 9-step amends, if I have an 8-step or 9-step amends that aren't finished, I cannot say that I haven't been selfish. I cannot say that I haven't been dishonest, and I can't say that I haven't been afraid. If I'm willing to make those, yes, then I'm not. But if I'm sitting on amends that I'm unwilling to make, how can I not say that's selfish, not to correct some way that I harmed someone else? How can I say it's not dishonest? And how can I say I'm not stopping doing it because of fear? Okay. Do I owe an apology? An apology is different than an amends. Okay. Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? Sometimes that apology is also the same thing that I need to discuss something with someone that I've kept to myself at once. Maybe I'm keeping something from my partner. Maybe I'm keeping something from my boss. Maybe I look at my day and see that, and I'm keeping something to myself I need to go back and share with someone at work or a partner or a friend. Was I kind and loving toward all? Okay. You are going to, if you practice this enough, you're going to have times when you can answer no. I mean, yes. Was I kind and loving toward all? Yes. You will be able to answer yes to this. You will have days where you will answer yes and no's in the way that you did not harm other people. And if you don't do this nightly review, you're not going to see your own spiritual growth. I have many days where I feel I was kind and loving toward all. And it didn't happen overnight, but it happened a lot because of the continuation of step 10 and 11. What could I have done better? Okay. What could I have done better? That's one of the most common used spiritual questions of all spiritual growth. When I look at what I could have done better during the day, when I made a mistake and I re-look at it and how I could have done it differently and done it better, it gets to me, I see placed in my consciousness at a different level. And when that kind of situation comes up again, right, I know how to handle it better. When they say, oh yeah, yeah, in AA, we live in the now. No, 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 no. We don't live just in the now. That is nowhere here. We look back, we look at hindsight. We're looking right now at the day before. We're looking at that day. We're looking at hindsight. And then hindsight becomes insight. And insight becomes foresight. Not only do we look at the day previous, we also look at the day going forward. It doesn't say we live in the now. No, 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 no. We get the advantage of being able to carry intuition and inspiration forward into the day as we sit in meditation. What could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself most of the time? And I got to tell you that a lot of the time I am, but a lot of times I can tell you, no, I wasn't, that I was thinking of what I could do for others. Was I thinking of what I could do for others, of what I could pack into the stream of life? There's the stream of life is the stream of life. There's no mainstream of life. There's no AA stream of life. There's just the stream of life. And that is a word from Sam Shoemaker. The stream of life, he said, was going with the flow of God's will. And you guys know what going with the flow of God's will, if you've been around a bit, feels like, where you come sometimes have a day and you're just going in the first few hours and you just feel like you're going against the current, like you're just, and you can just go. For me, when I was working a regular job, for me, I would go in the bathroom and sit on the toilet and just pray. And I would just take a few minutes and do that, you know, and it would get me back realigned where I felt like I was realigned with God. But for some reason, I just could get in that place where I was just rubbing up against everyone and everything in a difficult way. But I must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. If I'm drifting into worry, remorse, and morbid reflection, I am taking a destructive nightly review, not a constructive nightly review. Okay. There are 15 questions here to answer each night in meditation. And sometimes, a lot of times, I do this in the morning because sometimes I'm tired at night and I'll do it in my morning meditation and look back at the previous day. I don't think I'm not held to hard, fast rules by this. I think there's a lot of leeway to make it work for you. For that would diminish my usefulness to others. And that's a question. Drifting into those things, did it diminish my usefulness to others? Because remember, I'm to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. After making my review, I ask God's forgiveness, inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Why do I ask God's forgiveness? Because where I made mistakes is where I did not carry. If I'm hurting God's kids, that is not the knowledge of God's will. That is not God's will for me to be hurting people. And when I'm hurting them, I tell God, you know what? Hey, I'm sorry. You know, what I did was not okay. And I'm sorry. Can you show me what I need to do to correct it? Okay. So I ask God's forgiveness. You know, I'm sorry. You know, will you forgive me for that in a little prayer and show me what corrective measures should be taken? If you're asking for what corrective measures should be taken, I hope you're taking time in the morning meditation to listen. I've never not gone to bed at night when I've had a difficulty. I've had something happen with someone. And most of the time I can do it on a 10th step. But there have been times when I could not. And at night when I prayed on it and I asked God, there are times I did not know what to do to correct a situation. I knew numerous options, but I didn't know what direction to go in. And when I prayed and asked God for corrective measures and I went to bed and I turned out the light, right? Then when I never have I ever not woken up with the answer. Never. That it was clear by the morning what I needed to do, because sometimes I just didn't know what to do or how to correct it. Okay. So if I'm still spinning with something at the end of a week, I may write a four-column inventory. When we take personal inventory, we take the four-column inventory with no name in the first column. It's no longer about them. We only write second, third, and fourth column. That's a personal inventory for 10, for 10 and 11. Most of the time I don't, because I don't have to, but if I do, I do. If it's at the end of the week and I'm still spinning with it, okay? I'm looking at my notes. Okay. I wanted to make sure I covered what I wanted to cover. Okay. So there's three parts to step 11. There's nightly review, upon awakening, and walking out the front door. Okay. So I've finished my nightly review. On awakening, let me think about the 24 hours ahead. I usually know what I'm going to do the next day before I go to bed that night. That's just the way my rhythm of in sobriety has been, even before BBA, okay? I consider my plans for the day. My first plans for the day is to be grateful, to be happy, to be useful, to have a good attitude. Whatever those are, I deal with my attitude for the day first. I consider my plans for the day. Those are some of my plans, okay? I consider my plans for the day before I begin. Remember when it says ask, it's a prayer. I ask God to direct my thinking. So in prayer, I say, God, please direct my thinking, especially that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. That's a prayer. Under these conditions, I can employ my mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave me brains to use. My thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is clear to wrong motives. Okay, so remember that on page 23, the book said the main problem centered in the mind. Here's the evidence of a spiritual experience. I can now use my mind with assurance, because it's on a higher plane when it's directed by God. There's many, many definitions of meditation that you can find, probably hundreds. But the definition that Dan Sherman used, which I like, is God-directed thought. God-directed thinking, that God will direct my thinking, because that's what the book refers to, okay? In thinking about my day, I may face indecision. I may not be able to determine which course to take. Here's a prayer. Here I ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. Okay. So this morning, I knew that I was going to maybe cancel my art classes that I had on Thursday because I had something else that may conflict with it on Thursday. I didn't know for sure I was going to cancel them because I really didn't want to cancel them. But in prayer in the morning, I asked God, because I'm in indecision. I don't know whether I'm going to get canceled or not. I'm in indecision. So I ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought, right? Because I'm in indecision. When I ask in the morning like that, I let it go. I don't try to figure it out. I ask because I know when I get there in the later afternoon, the answer will be clear. And by the afternoon, I knew that I was going to cancel, and I called and canceled because I knew God gave me the intuition and the inspiration, and I could just trust that, because this is about trusting that God will be there. When I need it, he'll be there. I don't have to try to figure it out, because that's where it says. I relax and take it easy. That may be the hardest instruction in the Big Book for Alcoholics and Addicts. We relax and take it easy. That takes a practice. I don't struggle. See, when I'm in indecision, I am going to struggle and solve it and find the answer and call 10 people. And I am not going to relax and take it easy. That is not my natural way. I am going to get it figured out. And living by these instructions brings an incredible amount of peace to my life. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. And that's absolutely true. That inspiration, intuition becomes a working part of my everyday life. You know, here also in the previous paragraph where it says that I can use my mind with assurance when it's directed by God. I can employ my mind, my mental faculties, right? I have to quit going to meetings and saying that my mind is a sick neighborhood, that my mind, I can't trust my thinking, because I'm denying what the 12 steps and God has done in my life. If you especially have done the work this way, okay? I don't know about the other people, okay? What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of my mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God is not probable that I'm going to be inspired at all times. I might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, I find that my thinking will, as time passes, be more and more in the plane of inspiration. I come to rely upon it. I live this. I've lived it for a long time. And this is for me not to get crazy hung up on trying to figure out God's will. I rely on inspiration and intuition, trusting it. It's trial and error. You're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes, but the more and more I do it, the less and less I make mistakes. God wants to be involved in every area of my life. It's going to tell me, he's going to tell me every step I need to take in the next paragraph. Okay. So I've told you before that I've developed this thing of listening to God with one ear and listening to the world and people with the other ear. And that came from Jose. Jose taught me that 4 years ago. I mean, he didn't teach it to me. I watched him when doing sessions, and I could tell, because he would take a minute and he would listen, and I could see, I know he's listening to the Holy Spirit, you know. I knew that. And so I talked to him about it, and he told me that. And I said, I want to develop that. I want to develop that habit, because it has brought me a lot more clarity, and it comes naturally now, especially when I'm here in a fifth step. I'm working with people and I'm listening. I'm listening with one ear to God and one ear to them. Okay. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that I be shown all through the day what my next step is to be, that I be given whatever I need to take care of such problems. That's indecision again. I'm asking again. I'm asking God, show me what my next step is to be. Show me who you want me to be. I'm asking God who he wants me to be, and I'm asking God what he wants me to do, because prayer becomes an activity. Prayer and meditation becomes an activity. I'm walking it out in my life. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. You can easily see why. If you look at a lot of the early authors that the early AAs read, Emmett Fox, Fosdick, who wrote a book on the meaning of prayer, right? They all say the Bible, pray for yourself. I pray for myself all the time. Selfish ends is a different thing than praying for yourself, okay? So I don't have any problem in praying for myself and asking God for what I need, you know, but asking for selfish ends, because, you know, this idea, you know, what's God's will? I don't know what God's will is. Well, I think this book is full of what God's will is. You've heard me say that before. God's will is, remember, and they use the four absolute unselfishness, love, honesty. One other one. I can't think of it. If one of you think of it, unmute and tell me. But that was the four absolutes. And they ran everything that they heard from God. Absolute purity, pure in motives. Bill didn't use it because he said no alcoholic or addict could live up to it. And I agree, because it's absolute. But I can certainly look at, is it loving? Is it unselfish? Is it honest? Right? Is it kind? I those are all God's will. I can run things that I think may be God's will and inspiration coming to me. I can run it by the spiritual principles that I've learned through this work that I know is God's will for me. Love and tolerance. Is it tolerant? Is it loving? Right? These are things that there's lots of God's will right here, all through this book. And you begin to know, you know, what that is. And And I run it by people. If I'm in a big decision, and I shared this for any of you that heard it, I'm sorry, but you know, years ago when I first met Mark and we were spending a lot of time together and doing work together, and we talked about opening a treatment center in Texas together, and I was going to move to Texas. This was a huge, I have all of the prospectus, all of the stuff and everything. And it took me 6 months of prayer till I knew, and running it by two people that I really trust, right? I could not get clear on it, but I continued to pray until I was clear, not that I just really didn't want to be in that business and I didn't want to move to Texas, but it took time. And, you know, God is always there, because this is about trusting God. This is about relying on God. This is about trusting God. Sponsors are great. Everyone that can help me is great. But most of all, this is a direct relationship with God, because God will speak to your life and God will speak to you. Okay. If circumstance warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. Circle also. Also is the most important word there. Also, not instead of. If you're saying you're doing step 11 and you're not doing what's on these pages, you're not doing step 11. These are very clear-cut directions on step 11. You can do anything else you want, because I do a lot of other things, but I do what's on these pages. Okay. If not members of a religious body, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right, make use of what they offer. And that has been for me where I have grown so much, I believe spiritually, is reaching out in other directions, in other things, in other ways that has taken me further. And I want to just go over, share with you my meditation, prayer and meditation practice. Not that I'm the right way to do it or anything like that. I just like to share it with you. You're going to find your own way. Everyone that I work with, I want them to do what out of the book, but I want them to find and develop their own practice. I don't want them to do what I tell them to do. They have to ask God what they need to do, but I still like to share what I do because it might be helpful. You know, since I've had this heart thing happen, I've gotten up half an hour earlier because I felt I needed a half an hour more of prayer and meditation because of what I'm going through. And it's been a little more stressful for me and I need more time. So I get up at 5 o'clock, and by the time I get, you know, brushing my teeth and getting all that and sitting down to do prayer, it's 5:30. So, you know, I sit down, I do stretches. I have a whole routine. I do stretches that I need to do and that kind of stuff. And then I send out my meditation. Some of you are on my daily meditation list. I send out meditations and read some to a group of people. I read things by Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite authors. I always read something by him. I always read Joel Goldsmith. So I read them on my phone, you know, and then I do some more stretching, and then I do every day I have a big 3-ring binder notebook, like a college rule. And I've been doing this ever since I met Mark, and I write a letter to God every day. And all of those letters, you know, they're not long letters. They are about three letters on each page of college rule notebook paper, sometimes two. And if I need to, sometimes one. But what those letters, and I don't remember where I heard this, I heard it in one of the old Oxford groups or one of the things from the history about the way to write these letters. I always open the letters for me, dear God. And I always open the letters with what I'm grateful for. I always tell God maybe different things. Right now I'm so grateful for the money to have to go to my doctors, to have insurance, to have great doctors, for all the gifts that God has surrounded, for the great people around me that have prayed for me. It means so much to me. So I open with gratitude. Then I write about things I may be struggling with, right? It may be something that's going on. I don't have an answer to it. Maybe something like with this, I'm asking God to please heal me. I ask God to heal me. I tell God, you know, I may need direction in this area. I may need this. And then whatever it is that I'm struggling with, sometimes I'm not struggling with anything, but I may be writing about how can I help someone else? Okay. That may be struggling. Then I always close it with attributes that I want God to help me with, that I have seen that I need from my nightly and 10th step. You know, if I've seen like I've been talking over people too much, not listening well, I will ask God to help me be a better listener, to help me be more gentle, more kind, more understanding. I will always finish it with the things that I need help with to bring to the people around me and to bring to my life that day. And then I say, amen, I love you, God. You can, whatever you want to do. That's just the way I do it. Okay, then I do the letter, and then I read the books that I read. And I always read 10 and 11. I read 10 and 11 for 14 years every day. Then I switched to reading 10 one day, 11 the other day. And then I switched to doing a paragraph at a time because I have it basically memorized. So I wanted to make it more interesting to do it a little different ways. So I do that, do 10 and 11. I read from the big book every day. I usually go through the book a page a day or two pages a day from the beginning to 103. I don't go through to the employer in that. Okay. And then I start over, right? So that the big book is part of my daily meditation starting from the beginning. Then I read from the 12 Steps to Codependency by Melody Beatty, which I love. And I read just like with a big book, I read a page or two a day because it's something that is very important to me and something that I see in my life. Being able to learn how to take care of myself is really important. So I read a page or two a day from that. Then I read a Joyce Meyer daily meditation book. I know it sounds like a lot. You guys don't have to do this, but this is just what I do. And it doesn't take that long because I'm not reading that much. And then I read from the Bible, Life Application Bible, NIV. And I'm in Luke. So I read from the Bible. Okay. And then I do a 10-minute meditation from there's an app, but you don't need the app. It's called Daily Calm. You can get it free on YouTube. You don't have to get the app. They charge you for the app. It's called Daily Calm, not Calm, Daily Calm. And they have very good 10-minute guided meditation. And I find that's very helpful for me. And I've been doing it a long, long time. And Jose was the one that told me about it. And that's what I do. So that's what I do when I wanted to share it with you. Okay. Now, as I go through the day, okay, bottom of page 87, as I go through the day, I pause when agitated or doubtful. When I pause when agitated or doubtful, that's when I look at my step 10. That's when I look, am I selfish? Am I dishonest? Am I resentful? Am I afraid? I look at that review of step 10 when I pause, when I'm agitated or I'm doubtful, okay? Hold on. Pause when agitated or doubtful. I ask for the right thought or action, okay? I look at 10 and I say, God, please give me the right thought or action. Who do you want me to be, okay? Father, child. Remember, it says in Carl Jung said about a spiritual experience that what used to lead our lives basically is going to be cast to one side and a whole new set of conceptions is going to be guiding our lives. And these are new conceptions. The three-part relationship in the third step prayer are now guiding my life on a daily basis. Thought or action. I constantly, father-child relationship, God will provide what I need. I constantly remind myself I am no longer running the show. Director, God's the director, I'm the actor. I'm not running the show. Humbly saying to myself many times each day, thy will be done. God's the principal, I'm the agent. Who would God have me be? I am then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I become much more efficient. I wrote above that effective. Anything I'm doing in this program, I want to say, is it effective? You can sponsor any way you want, but is it working? Are the people you're sponsoring? Is it effective? Is my prayer and meditation effective? Make the changes. Don't get stuck. You know what I mean? That you need. I do not tire so easily, for I'm not burning up energy foolishly as I did when I was trying to arrange life to suit myself. Remember it said in the doctor's opinion that I was maladjusted to life? I was maladjusted to life because I was always trying to get life to suit me. If life would do what I wanted, then my internal condition would be fixed. That was the delusion I was operating in. Now it's saying, I'm not burning up energy trying to arrange life to suit myself, because my difficulty, my spiritual malady inside of me has now been touched by my relationship with God to my innermost self. And I don't have to try to have fix my internal condition with external source. I know that God is there with me, and I don't have to do that. So my whole life has switched. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not maladjusted to life anymore. I mean, sometimes I might be, you know, but not like I was. It works. It really does. What a promise. Do I believe that? We alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. The word discipline, that can have a horrible, when I see discipline, I just want to go F you. I'm not paying any attention to that. But discipline means to teach. We let God teach us along these simple lines. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. The miracle of step 11 happens when I get off my knees and carry the message to another suffering alcoholic. And I want to finish this with a prayer. And for me, this is my favorite 11-step prayer. And it's from the 12 and 12. It is the St. Francis prayer. So you're welcome, you guys, because if you want to close your eyes for a minute while I read it, you're welcome to. You don't have to. But I want to tell you what I did with this prayer. I took the St. Francis prayer and I took each word that, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. Okay. I took peace and I meditated on peace for a month. I did all my meditations that I sent out to my groups on peace for a month. This was about 3 years ago. And I took each word from this, and for 1 month, I focused on that word and bringing that into my life at a greater degree. And it was incredible. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. I focused on love for a month. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Thank you guys for letting me share. I want to open it up.
Woohoo! Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you. I want to open it up for sharing. Joe.
I was going to see if other people wanted to share first.
No.
What did you say? I said, I'm going to share, but I would like to hear some of the other people first.
Okay. Who would like to share?
Leash alcoholic dependent.
Felicia.
I want to thank you for a wonderful walkthrough of that.
Thanks, honey.
Feels fresh and new, and that's wonderful. It's always wonderful to hear the steps as if you haven't heard them before, and I'm grateful for that, just for all the special touches you put on that today, and what you brought to it today. What really stood out for me tonight is that when you emphasized the line that says, is it effective? When you emphasize, is it effective? And that, you know, that promise of, you know, that with God, that God consciousness, that sixth sense, that it'll lead us to what is effective, and that is the will of God. And, you know, that's that area of healing that I am just staying right here close to God for, in the area of relationships and in all respects, because good motive or not, it has just not been effective. It's just not. And so it's, there are just things that I'm just like, God, you know, really, what, huh? But these steps and this walk through the steps has been timely, because it's been the perfect time and the perfect way to deal with some things right here in the steps, and to apply the steps and the principles in real time, and to ask that very important question. And I think it makes me go back to something I love that you taught long ago, and I hold on to dearly, and say, you know, about clinging. And it's just not worth clinging to anything, because, like, and now I get to combine it with this, because is it effective? Psh. Like, even the notions of loving, the notions of helping, the notions of friendship, the notions of sponsorship, the notions of parenting, the notions of anything, is it effective? And if it's not, then it must be out of my own perceptions of how things should be, or even what I bring to the table. And so, is it effective? It's just such a powerful question. And so with that, I get to just cease and desist any ideas and set those things aside, and get closer to surrender, so that I can just be open to what God has for me. And so thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, honey. Who would like to share? You can unmute.
Hi, it's Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Thank you so much, Tyla. I was really moved by what you were saying too. And I was like, the same thing. Like, I was like, this sounds so new to me tonight. I'm like, and I've listened to your step 11 talks before. And so it's really funny, because I just felt like it was all, I was like, why is she saying all new things? So that was really great. One thing that stuck out to me especially was that hindsight, this work allows us to look at hindsight as, how hindsight becomes insight and insight becomes foresight. Like, I love how you said that. And like, we're able to do that with these tools, you know, because otherwise my hindsight is the morbid reflection.
That's right.
And yet here we're able to have hindsight become insight, and insight to become foresight, like you said, with God's will and that intuitive thinking. That's beautiful. And I love how simply you explained why we start with the nightly review. I'm going to use that with my sponsees, because I have not explained it so clearly and simply as you did. And I love that we're just picking up the pieces from step 10 that we were doing through the day, you know, and did we miss anything? And that's just such a great way to explain that. That was super helpful for me. So thank you for that too. And what was the other thing that I was going to say? Oh, and thank you for sharing your I've heard you share about your process, but I love it, because I just think thank it's you. Really great to just to mm-hmm. do that. I think it's good that we all kind of talk about what things that we're doing, because sometimes I might get to a spot where I'm like you said, you have to change it up a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I love hearing what other people are reading and like things that they're doing. You know, I read Emmett Fox. I also read, there's this guy that wrote this book, To Love is Christ. His name is David. Mm-hmm. And
David who?
David Teams, T-E-E-M-S, To Love is Christ. It's a funny mm-hmm. name. I would not normally have bought that book, but I got it for a friend, and then she started reading passages to me, and it's all about love, like God being love, and I believe that, and so it's really beautiful. So that's something that I read, and I sit and meditate, and I just
love that.
You know, so I have a nice little meditation cushion, and you know, I just get real cozy. But I do make a cup of coffee first. You know,
that's okay.
I make coffee. I gotta wake up to talk to God. No, but the first thing I do really is I do child's pose in my bed, and I say thank you, God, for another sober day, because my thinking is already going. So I have to do that right away. That's the first thing I do. Then I make the coffee. So, you know, and the process begins. But I just love that you share about your process. I think that's important for, that's something I've learned too, is to share my process with my sponsees, because they need to know that I'm just another alcoholic.
Yep. You
know, just like them. And if I don't share like what I'm going through too, and the questions I have and the considerations I go through in my life, then I'm not being effective, you know? So, wow. I mean, this is like one of those, I often listen to the recordings again, but this is one of those that I'll listen to more than once, because it's just, you really got me thinking, and my heart moved, and, you know, just, I just love you. I love this group. I want to say thank you to everybody, just in case I don't get that chance again, just to say thank you everyone for being here. It really means a lot. And even though we haven't all gotten necessarily to speak to each other exactly, it's like, I feel you all in my heart, and I love you all. I have so much love for you, and I just wish everyone the best, really. And I hope that there's some way we can stay in touch. So, thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Who would like to share?
I'm RJ Alcoholic.
Hi, RJ.
All right, so I'm at my third step tree. This is a redwood tree right here, this one behind me. And this tree right here, I'm at this meeting called ODAT. This is where one of my third step trees. I happened to drop off one of my son's best friend that he grew up with, and right around the corner, and I was coming to son. I'm like, shit, I'm going to pull in the parking lot and go here. I just got off work, and but thank you for your speech on the 11 step child. I'll tell you right now, it's definitely effective 10 throughout the day, 11 at night. I haven't done the 11 step lately, but I've been talking about it, but it's now time to start putting it into practice. Darcy tied it to me like 5 years ago, and I've been doing it except for the last couple months. I have not done the 11 step nightly inventory on page 86, but it is definitely effective when you're putting it into practice. 10 step I've been doing through the day, but not 11 step. So I just appreciate everybody's shares, you know, throughout this book study. I know we got one more week left, and I want to also mention that I'll be in Santa Barbara chairing a men's meeting next Friday at 8 o'clock. So I'm going to listen in to your 12 step stuff up until right before 8 o'clock. I hope that's okay. I'm called to do that. There's a captain on the boat in Santa Barbara that I met that has 18 years, and I'm sharing for him. So it's going to be, I have some awesome. Well, I don't even know what I'm going to share. It's not that time yet, but I just got back from a men's camp with 100 men and my son and his friend, a bunch of other teenagers and young kids. And it was so powerful. Meetings every day, just all kinds of stuff going on, fishing, boating, big bonfire meetings. And we missed you, Jerry Furman, and everybody else who couldn't make it. Thank you. Love ya. Peace out.
Love you. Thank you. Will you mute, please, honey? Thank you. Hey, Joe, would you like to, did someone have a voice?
That was me, Tyler. If Joe wants to share, keep
no,
going.
No, you go. You go.
Hey, everybody. Tyler, again, you know, I always get so much out of you. Thank you so much for filling my heart. But, you know, where I want to speak about my experiences when we, at the bottom of 86, here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried for a while. And for me, I have to also be surprised when no answer comes. Can I be okay in not knowing? And that is one of the most uncomfortable places for me to be in, because my mind wants me to take some action. And when I don't trust and rely on God, I can look around and see that my life is okay. It's just this one thing that I don't know what to do, or I don't, there's no intuitive thought. And so I can be okay in that uncomfortability. And I sat in that for about 3 months last year. It was, I wanted to leave my job, but I didn't know how to leave my job because I was addicted to direct deposit. So I didn't know like how to walk away from that. And I had to look around and say, but you know what, my life is okay. And I just did two things. I did my side job and my full-time job, until 3 months later, I got a call from the CEO who terminated my position. And when she terminated me, I started crying. And I said to her, this is bigger than you terminating me, because I had been bringing it into prayer meditation about how I wanted to leave, and I wasn't getting any answer. And for me, God didn't want me to leave, because the way my mind had me leaving was leaving with no financial money and relying on my savings. This way, I stayed, did what I have to do, and I got unemployment. So I'm very grateful that I didn't take any action, because, oh my God, I just can't sit here. Another thing, like, there are many helpful books. I remember I didn't have any inspirational books. The only thing I had was a Bible, and I had a Bible my grandmother gave me that had my name inscribed in it, and I never looked at it. When I got to steps 10 and 11, I couldn't get enough of reading inspirational books. That I'd be on the subway going to work with a highlighter on the subway, crowded train, didn't care who was looking at me, because all of a sudden I was connecting to what these spiritual teachers had written. And thank you for Better Men Than We Are using it constantly. And I like jotting down who inspires me. So thank you. I know this is our second to last meeting. I'm very exhausted tonight, but it's worth staying up past my bedtime.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you so much. Who would like to share?
Joe.
Hey, Tyler. Oh, sorry.
Go on.
Who is that?
That's Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry. I'll go after you.
Thanks, buddy. Jerry Alcoholic. Hey, it's funny. We're just sitting here going through step 11. I'll get up at the podium and I'll say, oh, step 11 is my favorite step. And I'll tell stories about how when I was new, I'd take the third step prayer and lay it on my book nightstand. So when I woke up in the morning, I'd go right to my book and read the third step prayer, and how it became regular habit. And that when every day when my eyes would pop open, I would say the third step prayer automatically. And here we are, you know, I just celebrated 16 years last week. And
oh, yay, happy birthday.
Yeah, woo, enough for that, but just saying, somewhere along the way, I've lost my discipline, my diligence. And it's funny that because this does, you know, after watching you, Tyler and Joe, and the program kicks into gear from this point forward from everything you guys are saying. But if you got to put the work in, and what I'm realizing is, you know, I tell my sponsees, read 86 and 87, even way before we get to step 11, I'm telling the guys, hey, you got to do this. This is going to set your mind right at night and when you start your day. And what I'm realizing in myself is I haven't been doing it. And this program's given me a wonderful business, a great career. And what I've been doing the last 6 months is stressing, because I've taken my nighttime review of my day and my morning look ahead, and I haven't been doing them. And I've taken the control back, and my head's been locked up and just crazy. And in the last week, you know, and Don Reed even got me a book, Morning Routine or something like that. And we made a pact, we were going to do it together, and that's gone by the wayside. But just in this last week, I've kind of fallen back into remembering, hey, this isn't about my control. This is about God's control. And what can I contribute to the stream of life? And holy smokes, it's like a weight off my shoulders just sitting here listening to you guys, listening tonight, Tyler. Thank you. I needed to be reminded that why step 11 is my favorite step, because ultimately it's about us connecting with our higher power. That's what this is all about, is in my belief. That's what the book says too. But my wife's dad passed away last week, and I'm still being selfish in areas of that when I got to be, you know, I got to be compassionate and to a whole nother level that I'm really, you know, it's a tough dynamic when a woman loses her father and mm-hmm. yet the alcoholic in me is, oh, well, what about me? Well, no, nothing about me, dude. Go help her and be of the most utmost service I can be. So thank you for the recommendations. I took notes and I already downloaded some of those. And just today I was driving in my car and instead of listening to sports or rock and roll, I'm listening to some podcasts and bringing me closer to my power. So thank you so much. Thank you for everything.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Thanks for sharing. Who would like to share?
I'm Joe. I'm a crystal meth addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you, Tyla. And great shares, everybody. And just a little bit about my experience. So first, like, 5 years was I was so intense with the program. Not that that's a bad thing. I mean, I would study all the time. I think I told you guys I'd go to coffee shops and study. There'd be people studying for school, and I'm studying the big book, you know. And I did that for years. And then my 11th step, you know, I started in the beginning because I already knew of it. And I would do 20 minutes at night, 20 minutes in the morning, you know. And I had books that I would keep, and I would do a written 11th step because I would write out like a little inventory for myself. And just for me, not to share with anyone, but just for me. And I was always sitting in my so part of this is this worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. You know, I would constantly be in that. I would constantly be in worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. And I was constantly telling myself I should have done a better job. And taking this process and taking this step into a negative space and beating myself up on it. And I never was going to be good enough. You know, I've never lived up to the own expectations I placed on myself in the program. And I don't think that that's what it's for. You know, it's not to be used that way. And I can get into what I've noticed is looking back on it, I could get into trying to fix me yet again here in step 11 with these inventories in 10 and this inventory in 11. And I'm sitting here writing stuff down and I'm going to fix me and I'm going to make me this person because I prayed to God and I know who I'm supposed to be now because God told me. And now I have to be this perfect fucking member of Alcoholics Anonymous and it doesn't work for me. You know, that is not me. And I know people have different lives and people have different situations in their life. And sometimes we have the time to do a lot of time in meditation. And sometimes we don't. Like when it says, in thinking about my day, my face indecision, well, a lot of my day is already planned out for me. Because I got responsibilities. I got to go to work. I got to come home. I got a relationship. You know, I got things to do. And so that's already kind of planned out. So the indecision might come in those days off, or indecision might come in early in sobriety. I had a lot of indecision in my life. You know what I mean? I was sitting in sober living. I was in treatment. There was lots of indecision. What am I going to do today? When I still had amends to make, I would be bringing that into my meditation, being like, what amends do I need to make? You know what I mean? That was a focus. That was a focus point. But then after that, you know, being in sobriety, like sometimes I try not to get caught up in, and this is just for me, in the amount of time I have to sit, the way I have to sit, how I have to approach God, how I have to pray, how I have to meditate. Because I did all these, like, I would go to the Buddha class and I did that for a while. And then I took a meditation class in school and we had to sit for an hour. And I did that for a while. And I was like, you know what? It's not working for me that way. So my thing is like, I could sit 5 to 10 minutes and that's good. You know what I mean? And the directed thought throughout the day, I love that Dan said that. He's like, mm-hmm. I talk to God while I'm awake, you know, all day long. And that's what his meditation was bringing God into every area of his life throughout the day. And I could relate to that because I'm using this program and I'm using this prayer and this meditation, this new relationship with this creator to go out in my day, you know, to live life the way I want to live life and need to live life and want to live life and the way I choose to live life. Because I don't get caught up either in what's God's will for me, what's not God's will for me. You know, I can pray to God every day and say, God, where do you want me to go today? And I'll end up at the fucking taco shop. You know what I mean? Like that's just the way it is. And I don't believe God's in the tacos, you know, but I'm hungry. So I'm going to the taco shop. Now, I don't get caught up in this, what's God's will, what's not God's will. I can make any choice I want in my life. And God will be right with me throughout every choice I make. any decision I make, any choice I make, where I want to go, what I want to do, no matter what it is, God loves me no matter what. He's going to be with me no matter what. I don't want to get caught up in, I'm a bad person if I do this. I'm a good person if I do this. Because the good and the bad, we got rid of that in step seven. Remember, got the good, the bad. I don't know what's good. I don't know what's bad. I just do life now. Now, when I'm operating after inventory and after the fifth step, I'm operating at a different level. And on page 72, and the top of 73, it told me I still couldn't really trust my thinking yet, that I only thought I lost my egoism and fear. I only thought I had humbled myself the way I needed to be, but I couldn't trust that thinking yet, right? And I couldn't even have a solitary self-appraisal. It was insufficient. Here on 87, it's telling me to start trusting my thinking and intuition, to rely upon that, to rely upon my own thinking, my inspired thought, through my meditation and prayer, that next level of thinking. But when I'm not operating in fear, I'm on a different plane. When I'm not operating in fear and resentment, and this is practical to me, it's very practical. I've been free from this. You see how I operate in fear. I saw it when in my inventory. I see it all over my third column. I see the thing. And don't give me this bullshit of, oh, what you think of me is none of my business. It's all of my business. Someone could say something wrong to me or treat me a certain way, and I'm fucked up all day. And then I'm in worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be sitting there. But what people do and how people react in life's terms, it affects me. You know, and when I'm operating in fear, it affects me at a deeper level, and I cannot operate that way. And when I'm free from that, when I'm free from fear and I'm free from the resentment, I am on a different level. I'm in the sixth sense. I'm in a spiritual dimension, the fourth dimension of existence, we like to call it. And it's free from that, spiritual malady that I've been living with. And of course, I'm going to have different decisions. Of course, I'm going to have different inspiration now because I'm not operating in that fear. And that is practice. That is practice. But it comes like in waves. You know what I mean? Like here I am doing different things in my life and I have different likes in my life, and I want to do different things in my life. I want to build a relationship, you know what I mean? I want to have that. I want to experience love, and I'm tired of being afraid of it, you know what I mean? Like and like that kind of experience there is where God's with me, you know what I mean? And I'm making those decisions, those choices. I want to start dating. I don't want to start dating. I need to focus on this. I need to focus on that. Whatever decision I want, God's with me through it all, you know? And this prayer and meditation, you know, I don't like to sit cross-legged. I just don't. I have bad knees. I'm not fucking sitting that way. I'm sitting in the chair. I'm sitting in a chair and I'm just resting there. You know what I mean? And that's good enough for me. My prayer, I don't need to pray on my knees because it's hard to get back up. So I pray laying down. I pray laying in bed. And that's just the way it works for me. And you'll find your own path. Everyone has different lives. Everyone has a different life and has a different experience and a different relationship with God. And I will be able to create that relationship, you know, going through my day and doing inventory and doing this process. And that's what, like, the step 11 to me, you know, it is ongoing, you know, it's ongoing, and it does not have to be perfect. I do not have to get this perfect. This program is not for perfect people. It is for fucked up people, but I always try to be perfect. You know what I mean? And it's like you're popular in AA, like big deal. You're famous in a room of alcoholics. I mean, like, come on now. Listen, I'm just trying to be me. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't trying to be perfect here. Like, what do I get? Nothing. Recognition. But this step, though, working it from early in sobriety, from day one, you know, I do believe it gave me strength. It gave me power, and it helped save my life. So I hope you got something from that all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Joe. Great. Great, honey. Who would like to share?
For now? Hey, my name is Kimberly. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hi, Kimberly.
Joe, you. You set my soul on fire, brother. I loved your share. Thank you. Thank you. And you kept it so 100 to me, right? Because my God takes me as I am, right? At any given moment, my God does not make, you know, the book says that, you know, our creator does not make too hard terms with us, right? My God means that. So what I do for step 11 every day, usually at night, I'm wiped out from my day. I do my best. It's not perfect. I'm usually, when I'm about to go to bed, I'm not feeling super inspired, right? because I'm exhausted, all right? I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I do that because my work requires me, I've got to be there at 6. So I need to leave my house by 5:20. It takes me 20 minutes to get up. I try and get everything squared away the night before. So it takes me 20 minutes to, you know, brush my teeth, wash my face, put on my uniform and go, right? I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because that's my time with God, 4 to 5. And I don't do that because I'm so great and I'm so pious. I do that because I need so badly. I need so badly to be loved. I need so badly to have that power in my life and in my heart. For me, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes practice, okay? And that practice, what that is that's time and that's energy. And that is how you build a relationship. I know that because I know that with my son, right? I can't spend every minute with him. I've got a job that's really demanding, but guess what? That time that we can spend together, that's everything. And when he calls me throughout the day, I'm always there. I will stop whatever I'm doing and I will incline my ear to my son, just like God does no less for me. I am the joy of his heart and I know that. So what I do every morning is I read steps 10, I read steps 11, page 84 to 88. And then I read a couple of verses from the Bible. Nobody has to and this, that, and the other. I'm talking about for me, right? I read a couple of verses from the Bible and I take that in quiet contemplation and I ask God, I say, God, what is this to me right now? What does this mean to me? Because here's the thing, for me, you know, the book talks about God and it mentions creative intelligence. That's what it is to me. And for me, the Bible is poetry, not because it's the Bible. The Bible is poetry as much as this book is poetry. It's art. So when I stop and take it in small parts and I look at it, every single time I see something different, because that's what art does. Because at the end of the day, art is a mirror. And so when I'm talking to God and when I'm saying, God, please enter my heart, what is it that you want me to see? What is it that you're trying to reveal to me? What I see is I see God. I see God. I hear God. That is my experience of God that jumps off the pages, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not so much about my head as about my heart. That's where the words go. And that's how I understand them. Right? All this other stuff, this intellectual exercise, that's all it is. And it never meant anything to me. Okay. People tell me I'm smart and this, that, and the other, whatever. Who cares? Right? My titles, my degrees, all this other stuff, how long I've been, blah, 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 whatever. Because at the end of the day, the most important title that I could ever have is a child of God, being God's daughter. This has improved my life so much. I got this through BBA, I'll say that. You know, BBA showed me how to do this, opened the door, right? And said, hey, look, if only you'd be willing, there's this whole path of healing and light and love that's yours. And so that's what I do every morning. I don't sit, I don't spend an hour, I don't wake up at 4 a.m. because I'm so good and I wanna get an A in AA, right? Like you were talking about, I wanna be the best alcoholic, the most recovered. That's nonsense. But I do that because I have a father who loves me. And that's all I ever wanted. And I found that here. So thank you. And Joe, just keep being Joe, man. Thank you.
I'm Norman. I'm an alcoholic. Oh my God, y'all got me on fire. This is such a good thing. I love to hear people talk about God. Your explanation of the 11th step and the way you do it, it really brought me some joy. And you know, everybody, like Joe says, has a different journey, but I do not like to talk about what I have with God. I don't, because it's so personal. What I do like to talk about is what God does in my life. I mean, through this program, right, I told y'all I had to share about the sexual abuse that I went through and what happened, how it released me and how my intimacy just opened up with other people and with my husband. It is a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. what is important to me is the heart that God gives me. And sometimes it's ugly stuff that happens. For instance, I have to confront my children because I have let them do and live whatever. I spoiled them. But now I have to put my foot down. And that too is the love of God. And it can cause conflict. And if it causes conflict, you know, I can only ask God to bring us together and to, you know, reconcile and have harmony. But if it causes conflict, then so be it, because that also is God's will, that he wants me to do the best for me and the best for my children. Now, and I tell you what happens in my life is so awesome. It's because of this program. I used to be so selfish still up to recently, not too long ago. My husband is in pain, man, and he can't do the yard, so I'll be raking that yard. I hate the blower, and the thing is heavy on me, so I'll be raking the yard, getting the thing, you know, good. Then the other day, I got on the riding lawnmower. I'm not a woman that goes out and does this labor, but here I am. God uses me to help this man that is in pain and gives me a compassionate heart to with him. That's what's important to me. Oh, my goodness. And step 11, I have been, step 10 and 11, I have been doing this with my step partner, and it is amazing to answer those questions. And yes, one day I can say, yes, I'm loving to anybody, everybody. And one time I can say, I am not, I'm the bitch that, you know, that comes from hell that day. But like Joe says, it's the good and the bad, you know, God loves me through it all. And that is what is so wonderful about this program, is that God can love me no matter how I act today or tomorrow, he loves me still. Thank you so, God. Thank you all so much. Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm. All of you.
I'd like to share. Hello, can y'all hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Helen Addict.
Hi, Helen.
Hello, Mama Tyla. Thank you so much for that spiritual pouring. It always comes from such a place in your heart, you know. What flows from the heart touches the heart.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. There was so much that I got out of your share tonight. And one of the main ones was when you talked about the word discipline. And when we hear that, you know, we automatically think it has to be rigid, but it was like a light bulb went on when you said, you know, discipline equals teaching, you know, and I really, really liked that. It was just a light bulb that went off. How I really feel and do step 11, I had an aha moment one morning or one night. I really like to do my meditation at night. That's where I flow. And it's always in my closet. So in the dark. But it came to me, a passage from the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God. And it was like an aha moment, because if my disease can keep me so busy, I can't be still. And therefore I can't know God, because I'm not being still. I'm always on self-will running riot, right? And so that was a big aha moment for me. And 10 and 11 is the process of slowing me down to be still. And I identified with everybody shared tonight on that level of slowing down enough to relate to God, and God to be able to relate to us, that we have that time, that it becomes priority. And we're not so rush, moving. And on page 88, you know, it just confirmed that to me when it says, we do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly. And to me, that's that going, that for me, that really hit me, because that's another way that I use is to keep myself really busy so that I don't have to deal with stuff. you know, that's one of those forms that comes up with me, is being busy, busy, busy. And so 10 and 11, and especially 11 for me, it allows me to slow down, to be still. I listen to your process, and that stillness, to be able to go from step to step to step to step to step in your process of 11. But during that whole process, you're still, you know, and you get to connect and you get to know God, and God gets to know you. And another one that stuck out for me in your share tonight was the constructive versus deconstructive, because my disease always wants to be deconstructive. It never wants me to see the constructiveness of it all. So I just really enjoy your share. I enjoy everybody's share. I identify with something from each person's share. So my 11 and my meditation and prayer with God, what that means to me is being still long enough, you know, long enough that I can hear from God. And it may be through a book, and it may just be pure, not reading nothing at all, just being silent. I'm not talking, I'm not doing anything. It's just being in his presence. For me, sometimes is enough. You know, there's a song that I love that says, in his presence, I am made new. So for me, just to get in his presence is meditation and prayer for me. So thanks for letting me share tonight, you guys. I love BBA. I want to thank Felicia for introducing me and suggesting that I come on and be a part of the group, and you guys opening your arms and your doors and your hearts and your experience, strength, and hope and your knowledge. It's been such a beautiful, beautiful journey. I've gotten so much. So yeah, I don't want it to stop.
Me neither.
Thanks for letting me share, you guys.
My name is Fernando. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Fernando.
Quick one?
Hey, Fernando.
Okay. Tyla, wonderful, wonderful job on the 11th step. You know, thank you for opening your heart and your life to giving us this experience. We were all talking, I was going through all his notes for the last, I don't know how many months. And I'm just looking at all the stuff that, what if there was no God? What if there was no God? All my different notes that I had. And then I'm going to repeat it again. And Donna, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. And how do I get my prayer meditation with God? Practice, practice, practice. Because Tyler, I know that I've spoken to you before about your routine about prayer meditation. And that's one of the biggest things that I had been lacking in my sobriety or recovery or whatever in my life, is that I always had a pinch leak, God. You know, let me get this job and then I forget about the job. Let me get this girl and I forget about the girl. You know, and I always forgot about God. But lately, and through this whole workshop, it's been about God. And the transformation that I know today and that I see in myself and that my wife and my kids have seen the last 4 months, I'll let you ask them. You know, I'll let you ask them how the transformation has been. Because you've taken this man who was not even a man, and God and all of you people have allowed me to experience this transformation. You know, I love you all very, very much. I love you, God, for including these people in my life. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wendy. I'm an alcoholic. I've been trying to share, but it's been so great and everyone's been so on fire. It's really awesome to see that. And thank you, Tyla, for an amazing step 11. There was a lot of new stuff in there. it was like, whew, a lot. And I really liked it. And also everybody else that shared, and thank you, Joe, because I really, really related to your share too. You know, what I love about the BBA experience is that it brought me this relationship, this experience in the big book, right? And it brought me to have a relationship with my higher power, with God. And the other thing that I love about it is that we don't have to do it perfectly, you know, that it's a process. Like, you know, I'm not quite 7 years sober yet. I have my whole rest of my life to have this process in my life, right? This way of living. And so I get to apply this in my life for the rest of my life. And, you know, my nature, inside me, how I've always wanted to do things. I want to go from A to Z. I want to be where, you know, Tyler is with 31 years of sobriety, you know, at not even 7 years or even at 1 year, you know, that's just me. So, but what's really awesome is, you know, this experience is showing me to not be so hard on myself and not be so overly critical. And it shows me how God works in my life by doing step 11, right? And I don't have to be perfect, because that's like, there is no such thing as perfect anyway, but it's like this ideal that I had in my mind that no matter what I do, if I'm not the best, I'm not doing it. And so that was just not a real good way. It kind of worked in some areas of my life, but it definitely didn't work in sobriety, you know? And so, you know, having this, this period of time where, you know, where I have prayer and meditation, you know, where I can honestly just talk to God, like, you know, it says earlier in the book, you know, like a friend, he's like my best friend. So I can talk to God. I can share with him what I've done, what I need to be forgiven for, what are the mistakes I made? Where could I have been better? I can answer these questions. And then I can go into meditation and listen. And, you know, I don't really hear God talking to me, but I get like sort of thoughts that come to me. And I've really had to work on that too, because I hear a lot of people say they hear God, and then I'm comparing myself to them and I'm like, well, I don't hear God. And it makes me feel like a loser again, right? But this program keeps teaching me like it's fine. You know, it's like Joe said, everybody's different. Everyone has their own way of doing it. And the way I'm doing it is keeping me sober, and my life has completely improved in every area. And I can get through anything, whether it's really difficult or really good. You know, it's not like I got sober. Like, I think in the beginning I might have thought, well, okay, now I'm sober and my life's going to be perfect because I'm sober. Look at me, you know, and that's just not how it works. And so it's really amazing, you know, that all through the day, you know, when I retire at night, I can review my day and see where I could do better. And when I wake up in the morning, you know, I do have coffee first, I'll admit it. And I get interrupted by my kids. And I also go into my closet in my bedroom where my clothes are. And I sit on this little stool, and then I have a little yoga block on top of it. And that is where I do my prayer and meditation to get away from everybody. And it's, you know, it's just like a little thing that it's like, I have to go in there. And now my family's starting to be like, oh, you're in there, sorry. And they walk away. So that's really cool. And all throughout the day, right? I love what's happening because my consciousness is getting more open. And so as I go through the day, when difficulties arise, I can pause and just invite God in right then, you know, like I'm having a problem with my daughter and I don't want it to get worse, because how many times has it gotten worse and escalated because of my actions? And then I had to do this whole process of, you know what I'm talking about. So basically, like, I can pause, I can connect with God and just say, please be with us in this, bless this circumstance, the situation that's happening, and things settle down and things get better. And so it's the result of getting results, which is another thing that has to do with faith that I learned in this, you know, doing this work. And so I'm getting great results, right? And those great results are taking me back to faith and my reliance on God. My relationship just continues to grow with him. It's just ever changing and different. And I'm so grateful that I get to just live the rest of my life with this program, with these steps, with a beautiful way of living. And I think that's my time. So thanks.
Thank you for sharing, Wendy. That's all the time we have. a quick suggestion that if with your step partner this week, if you want to review your nightly review, answer the questions with each other on the phone. If you feel like it's something you want to experience, I think it's very helpful. And the assignment is to transcribe working with others from page 89 to 103. And we will do that next week. Thank you for letting me be of service. Would does anyone have any questions or anything? Joe? Okay. Would someone like to read the seven-step prayer? Take us out. Who's got a big book and would like to read it? Or like to say it? Rick?
I can do it, Tyler. Thank you.
Thank you.
My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
God bless you all.
Great job, Tyler.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Tyler.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.